Well, it's the news, according to me. And it's also Monday, September 9th, 8:17 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have versus 2024 still. Big shoe coming up tomorrow night. I'm going to try to, I might possibly actually be on live tomorrow. I'm really considering doing this. It's the debate between Kamala la and Donald J. Trump. I'm just going to see what happens here. I am most likely going to be on my boat tomorrow night. That's what it looks like. One way or another, I will be either in a hotel somewhere in the middle of who knows where, or else I will be on the boat. Either way, I believe I can set it up to go live tomorrow night. That's my goal. Typically, when I'm on my boat, I have to use my phone for my internet, which actually works fairly well in that location. So I may do that. The marina has Wi-Fi, but I've never been able to get on it. And when I have been able to get on it, it's been so, well, I say I've never been able to get on it, but when I have been able to, I haven't been able to get on it this year, all summer. Last year, I was able to get on a couple times, but when I did, it was so slow. I couldn't, typically when there was a lot of other people there. So I was never able to make it happen. I think I can do it through the phone, hotspot, like a hot pocket. I'll give this an attempt to do it tomorrow night, to have the debate going, and I will provide commentary. I'm going to try this and see how it works. I thought about doing it on video, but I will not be in the studio. If I was in the studio, I'd do it on video. Doing video remote for me is a little bit more difficult, just because it requires a whole lot more jockeying around with software. I've got it all set up in the studio. I don't know why my dog decides to just start doing this when I start talking. I don't know what's going on with this. He was just laying there, just nice and peacefully. As soon as I start talking on the show, he starts trying to dig a hole through the ground, through the cement here at the home studio. Not the worldwide headquarters, but the home studio here, which is actually still in process. I'm going to be working on it. I don't know what he's doing now. If I stop him, he stops doing it, and then all of a sudden, the next thing you know, he starts digging again. So, in my cup, I have chai, vanilla chai with creamer from the bottom of the earth here, where my dog is digging around. I have almond joy creamer. And of course, the exciting thing is what's in the backup cup. That's the mystery now these days. The backup cup. You can hear the ice in that cup over the sound of the dog scratching his way through to China. I have this stuff called peach tea. I can't remember. I think it's Joe's peach tea. Is it what it is? Joe's peach tea, something like that. I don't know. It's pretty good. Now, it's not as good as my peach tea, because I actually put peaches in my tea. Like real peaches, real live peaches. Well, they're not live. I guess they're live. There's life in there. And they have, that tastes much better. But I have to say, this is pretty good. Now, it's not cheap. For the cost of one bottle, which actually comes in glass bottles, by the way. For the cost of one bottle of this peach tea, I could make a gallon of my own peach tea with the peaches. Yeah. It's not cheap stuff. I think it's like $3 a bottle or some ridiculous thing. Yeah. So we have that going for us. Now, there's a couple things I want to talk about today. One of them there's a couple different audio things. I want to talk about the First Amendment a little bit, because there seems to be some confusion from our leaders on the left about what free speech is. they want to, this, I have never seen, in fact, Barack Obama, I think, came out last week and said some things about speech and censorship. And he said some things in the past, but I think he actually came out over last weekend or right before the weekend, said some things about, in a speech somewhere, about free speech. Or about censorship. I think it's mostly about censorship. It wasn't necessarily, he didn't say anything about free speech or free speech. But the thing, this is the philosophy that we're hearing from the left and the leftists and the I call them fascists, because really the core of fascism is the lack of free speech. That's where they get you, is you have to bow down to the ideology by force. It happens by force. They try to when a BLM. I saw this during the BLM riots, that people would be rioting in the street. They'd go past a restaurant that had like an open area where you could sit outside with this restaurant. Well, they would just walk right into that area, go up to a table and say Black Lives Matter. I'm not going to say Black Lives Matter. You have to say it. We're going to destroy your food. We're going to start smashing the place. And of course, that's at the point where you don't realize who the fascist is here. When you have somebody saying that they're anti-fascist, the Antifa group, the anti-fascists who would run around and destroy everything, because it just sounds good to label somebody a fascist. Well, you're a fascist. We're going to destroy the fascists. Now you're the fascist. You become what you hate, supposedly. My new question, I'm just going to start this debate now, even with the simplest of minds, because there are some people in my family who are very young, and they'll make some statements about, apparently they're old enough to make political statements, but they're not old enough to have a debate about it. Because whenever you start to question them on what they're saying, their parents step in and say, oh, well, you know, she's too young to be. Have that kind of debate. Just don't try to have an adult conversation with someone who's that young. That's basically what they're saying, which is absolute. Hey, well, then tell your child to stop making adult statements. Recently heard my niece say that Donald Trump is stupid or whatever. I can't. What it was, that Donald Trump was stupid. Whatever she said. It's a stupid racist, I think is what she said. And I wanted to confront her. And the thing that popped in my mind was, oh, so you hate Donald Trump. I know what her answer would be. Her answer would be, yes, I hate Donald Trump. So you're a hater then. I mean, it's the question is, so you hate Donald. When you say stop the hate, and you think that Donald Trump is the hate group, but you hate Donald Trump, who's hating who? Where are you here now in this spectrum here? How does this work? And of course, my first question for you is, does God love Donald Trump? Do you believe God loves Donald Trump? I know what her answer will be. And it's because I know the mind of a teenager. I know how they think. It's a typical leftist mentality. Because they stop, you know, your brain doesn't really fully mature until about 26. The age of 26. Surprisingly, most Democrats, most leftists, most communists, most collectivists are college age. The most vocal ones, anyway. They come out of high school with all the ideology that's been pumped into them the whole time that they don't realize it's even there. And they go into college that apparently learning your academics is not as important as knowing how to demonstrate and to throw little tantrums, have safe spaces. That's what they learn most about life, apparently. And they go into the real work world, where they sometimes find jobs like at Google, where they actually literally provide safe spaces for people because they're being run by a bunch of these college kids. And they never really get out in the real work world. People who actually do things, produce things, build the roads and the buildings that they live in and drive their cars around in. In fact, build the cars that they drive around in and the phones that they talk on, computers that they communicate with. Those people anyway, so I'm going to talk about this little free speech thing here a little bit. This is a thing that I want to play. I don't even remember what this clip is. By the time I found this clip and then I got my computer up and running, which I had to reset everything for some reason this morning, things were not working well. This is Rita Panay. I can't pronounce her name. I have all the respect in the world for the lady, but I can't pronounce her name. Panay. I've heard it pronounced several different ways. Sky News Australia. Here's what she has. This is what they had this morning. I just want to play this because it was about an hour ago. Let's see what it is here.
And he has a right to express his opinion. However, that right is not unlimited, and he is under some special limitations that wouldn't apply.
By the way, let me set this up. He's talking about Elon Musk, because he's saying that this whole attack on Elon Musk, and this also comes from Kamala, and also comes from Tim Walz. The left, and now all of a sudden, they're trying to get him arrested, by the way. They want to see him arrested because of his platform. He's allowing too much misinformation on his platform. He should be responsible for all that. Well, you can't have it both ways here. He can't be a publisher, which was what they want them to be. The problem we had was earlier with the earlier administration of Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter, was that they were publishing things. They were correcting people and taking content down, and all because someone had an opinion, they would take down their opinion. If you share an opinion on YouTube now, still to this day, you will get a disclaimer in the bottom there. January 6th, people touch actually. If you talk about January 6th at all, they have this little thing. If you talk about COVID, they have a little thing at the bottom that talks, this is what actually happened. Now we're going to let you know that this isn't, you have to understand, this what this person's saying isn't true, because what actually happened is what we're telling you happened. Don't believe your lying eyes and ears. So here's the talk about Elon Musk, and he starts in with this whole thing about Elon Musk and why he's a special case. He's different. We can single him out.
To express his opinion. However, that right is not unlimited, and he is under some special limitations that wouldn't apply to normal people.
No, he's not a normal people.
Specifically, Starlink and SpaceX are government contractors, and as
we'll talk about that,
he has obligations to the government that would, for any normal person, and should for him, require him to moderate his speech in the interest of national security. So what you have is somebody who runs really strategic defense and aerospace projects for the federal government, who's actively undermining the government which is paying him, and somewhere in there is a legal case that needs to be prosecuted.
Now, I apologize for the audio, first of all. They had way too much high frequency in there. It was just, they didn't have they weren't processing that audio very well at all. I don't know if it was just the way that it was recorded or if the way it was re-recorded, but it was, something was weird there. It was almost harsh on the ears, and I apologize for that. Basically, the de-esser wasn't working is what it amounts to, if you know what that is. Elon Musk is a special case. He's special. Because he's a contractor. I guarantee you that Elon Musk's name is not on the contract. I guarantee you. He's a stockholder in Starlink. He's a stockholder in Tesla. He's not even a majority stockholder in Tesla, by the way. His name is not on the contract. I guarantee you. It's the chairman of the board or whoever it is. It's the legal department that makes those contracts. He's a personal individual who has personal individual rights. He can say whatever he wants to. Now, if he divulges national secrets, I'm sure he signed some NDAs because of the information. I'm sure everybody that works there that has privy to certain information, I'm sure that they sign NDAs. And if he breaks an NDA, then he can be sued. But guess what? It's civil. Now, if he breaks a law where he divulges national security information, then yeah, okay, so prosecute him. Go after him. Which one has he broken there, buddy? Well, he can't just start talking about things he wants to talk about. Yeah, he can. Yeah, he can. He hasn't broken it. What law has he broken? Well, here's the law that according to certain people, this is the Tim Walz, and this I've heard this from more than just Tim Walz and Kamala Harris here, but they're also talking about Donald Trump and Elon Musk and what they're saying here. So let's listen here for a minute. This is Tim, starts off with Tim Walz and also goes into a little bit of Kamala Harris. And this is their mentality. This is the way they think. Let's talk about that. Well, that didn't work well because it was muted. That's why, because it was muted. So we're going to go here. We're going to try this again. I'm going to unmute this. And we're actually going to listen to it. Because that's, I'm going to have to fire my engineer because he's not doing a very good job. Don't tell anybody. I'm going to sneak it on him a little bit later today. I'll just let him know he's fired. It's just for sure he won't be back tomorrow. That's for sure. Okay, here we go.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
There's no guarantee to hate speech around misinformation or hate speech, especially around our democracy. If someone comes out and says they hate this country, is that hate speech? If someone comes out and says, and this, I just heard this on someone was being interviewed. This is someone on the left. Said something about this country being, they used cuss words and expletives. I talk sometimes. I don't know English very well, but sometimes I talk. They have all this weird ideology out there that somehow you don't have the right to, you only have the right to correct speech. You don't have the right to just say anything you want to. I've heard, is it John Goldman? Dan Goldman. Dan Goldman was the first one I've heard really just come out and flat out say that. You don't have the right you only have the right to legal speech. Oh, illegal speech is what? But do we have a list of illegal things that you can't say? Well, you can't yell fire at a crowded theater. Actually, you can, but let's not go down that rabbit hole. Let me just ask you this question. When somebody makes that kind of a statement, just say, how many people have been arrested for that? Do you know the statistics on that? How many people have actually done that? And I'm not doing that. I'm doing other things. First of all, we're not in a crowded theater, and I'm not yelling fire. So what's your point here? So does someone have the right to say that this country is, that they hate this government, and they whatever it is they say about? Is that hate speech? Is that hate speech? If I would say that about someone else, those very same things about someone or some other company, is that hate speech or a race, a particular culture? People group? Would that be hate speech? But all of a sudden they have, you can say that all you want because they feel the same way. It's only free speech if you say what they agree with. That's their thing. Which is the whole point of the First Amendment is that you can say things that aren't popular that someone else might not agree with. But they don't care. So let's go on here with Tim Walz. So especially around our democracy. Our democracy. Because, you know, I'm so fervent about protecting our democracy. That's why we're here. That's how we got to be the candidates, was through democracy, through democratic process of telling the people who's going to be the candidate. Power of the people. That's what we're going to power over the people. Maybe that's what it is. You don't have the right to free speech isn't guaranteed. Well, you don't have a guarantee to free speech if it's misinformation. Misinformation. By the way, I think he does say misinformation. Let's go back and play this, because I think he does say misinformation, not disinformation. Disinformation is very different. Disinformation is intentional. Misinformation is, if misinformation is illegal, then all the legacy news media organizations and all of their pundits should be put in prison, because they've all given us misinformation. Everybody has made a mistake in giving some information that wasn't correct. In the last 2 years, I think we've experienced more than enough of that. I'll see what he has
speech.
To say.
I think we need to push back on this. There's no guarantee to free speech on misinformation. Or hate speech, and especially around our democracy.
He has violated the terms of use, and I'm asking that Twitter does what it has done in previous occasions, which is to revoke someone's privilege because they've not lived up to the advantages of the privilege.
If you don't police your platforms, we are going to hold you accountable as a community.
So if you don't police your platforms, we're going to hold you accountable as a community. This is the government. We as in the government is going to hold you accountable. Now, here she is talking to Jake Tapper, and Jake Tapper is looking off. His body language says it all. You can almost tell exactly what he's thinking here. He's looking up into the sky, holding his hands open like, well, how do you do that? How do you? Because what she's about to say here is, well, but he has right to free speech. How's the government going to stop him from saying what he wants to say?
They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation.
Think about what she just said here.
They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation.
And then she gives a little nod at the end, like, right? Agree with me. So someone on Twitter who's speaking to millions and millions of people without any oversight or regulation. That's called the First Amendment. That's called the right to free speech. Are you only allowed to speak out on the public curb? Outside on the... in your own property, say whatever. Stand on your own property and say whatever you want to say, as loud as you want to say it. But you can't transmit that anywhere. You can't get on the internet and say anything you want to say. You can't have a podcast like this and just say what you want to say about how you feel about free speech. They're giving you disinformation, really. They're giving you false information right now by telling you this. You just don't have that right. You don't have that right to just say whatever you want to say. Oh, yes, we do. And don't you dare take it away from us because. Because it's the little amendment that comes after the first one. And you're trying to take that one away so that we can't protect the first one. And then there's the third one and the fourth one and the fifth one. All of which seem to be becoming more and more relevant every day. These are the kind of statements from despots and dictators and wannabe, well, just they're these people are the ruling class want to tell us what we can and can't say. Just think back just a few years ago when COVID broke out. All the things that we were told. that were wrong, that are now in question, if you dared come out and say that the COVID-19 virus came from anywhere but a wet market, you were vilified. Some people were deplatformed, demonetized, completely thrown off certain platforms because they were conspiracy theorists and they were spreading misinformation, disinformation. They were QAnon people. Oh, now if you say that it was in a wet market, now you're the bad guy. If you don't get the COVID shot, by the way, you're spreading it around and you're creating problems. You're endangering those who've been vaccinated. Wait, what? If you don't wear a life jacket, you're endangering people who are wearing life jackets. What? Ridiculous statements like that are why we cannot trust these people, and we need to make sure we protect our First Amendment to be able to speak what we want to speak, even if it's wrong, even if it's hateful, even if you don't like it, even if it hurts your well feelings. Oh, you hurt your well feelings because someone said we want to. That's right. But now, if you say something that is liable, then you should be held accountable for that. There is currently Corey Lewandowski, have you ever seen this clip? I wish I would have had it up now. It just came to my mind here. Lewandowski is in a split screen with this guy from MSNBC, and this guy is saying how, you guys said I said this statement, and I didn't say it, and there's libel, and I'm going to be suing, you know, Fox News. And of course, so Corey Lewandowski pulls up the transcript, and he starts reading it. He said, this is what you said. And he goes, I didn't say that. Now, if you continue to say that I said that, and it all had to do with the way Donald Trump was wearing this bandage on his ear and all this kind of stuff. And it was, and and so the commentator was just going nuts, and they starts threatening him with a lawsuit. And Corey's like, what? I'm reading. You didn't say this. And you can play the video of him saying this. Most of the commentators will just play the video of the guy saying it, which is exactly verbatim what Corey Lewandowski just read. He's claiming he didn't say it. He's going to sue Fox News. It's a libel thing to go after him for defamation. And assume for defamation, which is actually not true. It's libel, I think, is what he. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a financial counselor. But he said all this stuff. And everybody's laughing at the guy now because he actually did say it, and it's on video that he said it. He has no case, but he's making it sound like he's all this righteous indignation's coming out of him. Okay, is that disinformation or misinformation or whatever it's going to be? Should he be put in jail because he doesn't have the right to free speech? To claim that someone else was... So you should be held accountable for anything that you say that has... deflammatory or, you know, that kind of thing. There's legal cases for those kinds of things. It's called civil trial. It becomes criminal if you do say something that leads to someone being, you know, injured or hurt or killed or whatever happens there. That's one thing. If you're directly responsible for something like that. I guarantee you, if you're in a crowded theater, which, you know, has a certain limitations to how many people, because the fire marshal only puts a limitation on how many people can be in that room, and you yell fire, and there's no fire, and people start running out. Now, if there is a fire, it's a whole different story. But if you yell fire in a crowded theater and there was no fire, people start running out and someone gets trampled on and someone gets killed. You've got some liability there. But if you yell fire and everybody runs out and nobody's hurt, what are they going to charge you with? They're going to charge you with, blah, blah. 20 years in prison for blah, blah, blah. So we have, She continues to talk here. She's looking over at and giving that little head nod that she always does because this woman is so incredibly insecure. Now, we've talked about her speech slurring and that kind of stuff. There's something about that. She's trying to sound intelligent. That is a typical, I call it phony syndrome. Some people call it imposter syndrome. She's a phony. She's a phony through and through. But here she is. She's saying something that she doesn't believe herself. She's trying to get everybody to be on board with believing her. That's part of her laughing, cackling thing. When she starts laughing uncontrollably, she has this weird smile on her face. It's a weird kind of her eyes kind of go up. Her eyebrows go up, and it's this thing where she wants people to laugh with her and just agree. Oh yeah, okay. Just laugh your way all the way right into prison, right into Marxist collectivist utopia. That's what she wants. She thinks it's laughable. She wants you to believe that it's laughable that there's that any other opinion besides her own, whatever crazy thing she's saying that she wants. And so she'll have this slur. Now, I believe she's probably on Adderall. There are some adult drugs that especially, this is my understanding is that this happens especially in the business world. Some of the women, the men take it too, but there are a lot of women in the business world who feel so threatened in their positions as executives and the CEOs, those kinds of things. The pressure is self-induced. Because they feel like everyone's watching them just because they're a woman, which may be the case. I think sometimes it's self-imposed. When you're a man and you're in those positions, everybody scrutinizes you. It's just part of the territory. You just get used to that. I think that some people who are minorities or certain genders feel like that pressure is coming from people that men don't get that kind of pressure. Well, no, men are always under that kind of pressure. You just don't. We just have to learn to deal with it early on. As kids, we have to deal with that kind of thing. We are held to a different kind of accountability. And that's just the way it is. You get into a leadership position, whether you're a pastor, a CEO, or some kind of business director or businessman, any kind of a leader, military, whatever it is, you are held to a higher degree of scrutiny from above and below in the chain of command. And we don't have anybody else to blame. We can't say, well, they're just treating me this way because I'm a man. No, we don't have that kind of scapegoat opportunity. It all falls on us. And our performance, our merit. Women and certain minorities they have this victim mentality that they can escape it to in that process. Well, they're just being mean to me because I'm a woman. They're just being mean to me because I'm Chinese. Whatever it is. And they develop this high sense of pressure. Well, in order to cope with that, many times they will take certain enhancement drugs, which I believe one of the main ones is Adderall. That's the way I understand it. We're basically some of the focus drugs, some of the things that they give kids. My understanding is that it's like 30% of most kids in school now are on Ritalin. Or something, the derivative thereof. It's just outrageous. So all these things are going on, and I believe that she is probably taking some kind of medication. I'm positive she's a drinker as well. Alcohol is a part of her life. I'm sure of that. By the way, Donald Trump does not drink. Initially they were talking about, oh, he's a drunker. He's probably doing coke and all this. They were actually saying those kinds of things. He is so anti-drug. He hated marijuana until he found out things about medicinal marijuana that he's now realizing, hey, this medicinal marijuana may be. And I have to say, here's the problem. Once you legalize it and you start making it something that is medicinal, Big Pharma steps in. And here we go again. This idea of it being all natural and ability. The problem is that the thing that Big Pharma doesn't like about it is that it you can grow it yourself. That's what they don't like. A lot of people are using it as a, oh, I need this because there's all this stuff about, you know, it should still be something that you work out with your doctor. And the doctors should be educated on, you shouldn't just be out there self-medicating anything. It's not like it's a vitamin C supplement. Even that can be dangerous if you take too much of it. A healthy diet, all this stuff should be planned with you and somebody who knows what they're doing. And you can self-educate yourself. There's no reason you can't. But, you know, once Big Pharma gets involved, then everything changes. So here we go. This is the rest of her statement here. So she just made this. Let's go back to what she had to say here. She's talking to Jake Tapper. She's got her eyes closed. She's using her hands. She's trying to make a statement. And of course, it's just outrageous.
They are directly speaking to millions and millions of people without any level of oversight or regulation.
Oversight or regulation.
That has to stop.
But
the election is.
That has to stop. Because we have to have oversight and regulation. From who? Who's going to do this? Oh, the Department of Truth. Which, remember, they tried to get that established. They tried to start that a year after the administration was in office. Ministry of Truth. Some wacky lady that was supposed to be in charge of all this stuff. And I guarantee you they're still doing this behind the scenes. I guarantee you what's she doing now? Everybody ask, see which, how she's employed now? Guarantee you it's happening there. Folks, this is the group that wants to halt free speech. This is the group that has nothing to do with democracy. Think of what they did in 2016 when Bernie Sanders, and people were fired, people were resigned from their positions because of what happened between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Almost half of the Democrat Party was supporting Bernie Sanders. They were concerned that Bernie might win the nomination. And guess what they did? They went behind the scenes. This is when the superdelegates stepped in and made Hillary the nominee. They essentially pulled the rug out from under Bernie and his supporters. And Bernie stepped aside, bowed, kowtowed to the administration. And this is when all the Bernie supporters went, wait, what just happened here? Many of them, of course, people are saying, whatever, what happened to those people? Well, they just continued to drink the Kool-Aid. The Democrat Party told them what to think. And all of a sudden, they were all with her. Because we can't have him go in there because he's a fascist. We have to save our democracy. So Donald Trump came and went. Democracy's still here, apparently, sort of. Well, now he's an insurrectionist. If he gets in there, he will never, ever leave. Never, ever. Never, ever leave. There's a good chance he may not make it through all 4 years. He's getting up there in years as well. I mean, he's 80. Oh, he's going to be over 80 years old. The fact that it never, ever is a long time. Let's just put it that way. That's what I'm trying to say. Until he's 100, until he's 120. Well, what are you talking about? Never, ever means, you know, a million years. This is the kind of stuff that just drives me nuts when they make those kinds of statements. When, you know, De Niro comes out and says that kind of stuff, of course, then it's so. Well, here we are. Folks, I just want to say, as the week goes on, we'll see what happens with this debate tomorrow. Now, she's going to come out swinging. She's going to have some, I guarantee you, she's going to have some zinger. She's going to have some punchlines. Regardless of what happens. You know, I'm just going to, we're going to turn the music down. I got to talk about this a little bit. Regardless of what happens tomorrow night, think about how they came out with, they already had their words, their little spin lines planned after the Joe Biden debate. Remember what they said immediately afterwards. As soon as they had Joe off in the little cool down room with the little his little circle group, Jill came out and spoke for him and said, basically just stepped in on his behalf. We know this. We know that. What does Donald Trump do? He lies. That was their big thing. They are all saying Joe said this. Joe said that. He may stumble on his words a little bit, but Donald Trump lies. That was their, they already had that plan before anything. All they wanted to say was that everything Donald Trump said in the debate was lies. I guarantee you they will pull that card out again, but it's not going to be as prominent. They're still going to say all Donald Trump did was lie the whole time. And I'm convinced the reason that she wants to have the microphone unmuted while the other person speaks is so that she can have that moment where Donald Trump interrupts her and she can say, excuse me, I'm talking. You're going to talk over a woman. To make him look rude, to make him look brash. Oh, because you can't handle it? You can't handle having someone talk over you? You can't handle having someone? Is that, you're going to use the old woman thing to get yourself to, you know, hide behind your own skirt? So to speak. Yeah, I only have a few things to say to that. You want to be the leader of the free world, supposedly free world, whatever. You want to be the leader of this country, and you want to use that to make yourself look better. Because you can't take it when someone talks over you. Someone challenges you. Now, I guarantee you she's going to be speaking. She's going to be speaking like this, and she's going to be talking like she's incredibly intelligent. She's not going to be out there going, you better thank a union member. She's not going to be talking like that at the debate. Okay, now think of whatever you want to think about it, this code-shifting crap, which it is. It's pandering. Let's call it what it is. It has never been in the public purview until now because she's doing it so much. Barack Obama did it too. He could get away. He wanted to come across like he was a brother. He was half white and half black, but we didn't call him white. We called him black. Officer Tatum, Brandon Tatum, he actually had a really good confrontation with somebody. He was making a speech someplace, and this lady was confronting him about this. He said, was Barack Obama white or black? Was it, you know, his parent, was his mother black or white? She was white. And he said, it's a white supremacy ideology to think that just because there's half white, half black, that now all of a sudden they're black. But she claims he's black. We don't call them mixed, we call them black. And it is. It's true. What he said was true. It is a white supremacist idea that you're not pure, therefore you're just black. That's the way it was. But he used it. Don't get me wrong. He used it as a cudgel to get his way in and maneuver his way in. If he said anything about his policies you didn't like, well, you're racist. Now you're a racist misogynist. But there are a lot of people who are waking up to this idea that we're not just going to vote for somebody because of the color of their skin or their gender. Because obviously this is not working well for us. The most common talk right now is, who cares? Big deal. So what? I want my gas prices down. I want my. And she's going to talk like she's going to talk in this debate like as if that she had nothing to do with anything about prices going up or the immigration issue, the housing shortage, all this. We're going to make it so that people can afford houses. We're going to do this. Okay, how are you going to do that? Why aren't you doing it now? Why aren't you doing it now? I don't know what the debate planning is. All I know is that Tulsi Gabbard is helping coach Donald Trump in this debate process. And it should be very interesting, in my opinion, because of that. I think Tulsi is going to get an understanding of the mind of Donald Trump and how he works in the process of all this. And I think that she's going to find out that very quickly that he has more grassroots understanding of the common man than most politicians do. He has had to work with people on a grassroots level because he's been an employer for so long. He's been a builder. He's been a real estate guy. He understands both ends of this. He understands the politicians and the elites, as well as the common worker who drives his car for him or cleans his clothes, digs holes to build a building, for remodeling, all that stuff. He understands all that. Folks, God bless. Continue to pray for our nation. Take care. God bless.